tonight is for that good song. Proverbs 16 tonight in our Bibles, Proverbs 16. And teaching, preaching on the subject of the marriage relationship here on these Sunday nights now for two or three weeks, and planning to do so as long as the Lord lays it upon our hearts. Some of the messages will be more teachy in nature than preachy. Last week was more preachy, I guess. This was probably more teachy, but I hope it will be a blessing to you and a help. So many things to talk about and so many needs, so many ways to be helped in our relationship. We're going to read a verse and then we're going to pray, and these ladies are going to come and sing a song for us, and they'll be ready to sing just as soon as we pray. We'll enjoy them singing again. Let's stand, please, in honor of God's good book and drop down to verse number 32. You're in chapter 16 and verse number 32. And you know about the book of Proverbs, and so one of the unusual books in the Bible, and that many times a verse will be a context in and of itself. Whereas other places, the verses are, you may have a chapter or two or three that are a context. And this is one such place. It says in verse number 32, kind of a context in and of itself, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." I want to talk about that tonight in just a moment. Let's pray, and then we'll enjoy a song before we get to the message. And dear Father, I pray that you will build our relationships, especially our marriage relationships. I pray, Lord, that every married man and every married woman in the room tonight would bring an open heart to your book. I pray, God, that you will help us to see the truth and to receive it. May we be humble, Lord, enough to learn. I pray, God, that you'll build us on these Sunday nights. I pray for those who are not yet married, Lord, that they'll gain a wealth of truth and wisdom that'll help them as they someday take a husband or a wife. Bless the marriage, the institution of marriage. It is honorable in all, you said. Lord, even yesterday we witnessed a 77-year-old, 75-year-old getting married. It's honorable at any age. It's an honorable institution. Help us to treat it as such and build our marriages tonight a little bit more, please. In the name of Jesus, we pray and ask this, and amen. Thank you. Be seated. We'll enjoy this.
Without the cross.
always enjoyed that beautiful song. Now I want you to see number 32 here in chapter 16. Look at the first phrase. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And I want to talk tonight on the subject, getting a grip on anger. I talked about this years ago in a Sunday school class with several of our couples, and so I want to talk about it again tonight to the whole church, getting a grip on anger. And let's pray together for God to speak to our hearts. Dear Father, again, we want to thank you for the cross. Without it, we would not go to heaven or have eternal life or know the joy in this life that we have known since our sins were washed away in the precious blood of Jesus. Thank you for the good music tonight. And now, dear Lord, help us to settle in, lock into your book, and give a listening ear, and build our marriages, please. And we'll thank you for it. Help me to be a blessing in Jesus' name, and amen. How would you like to be better than the mighty, and better than the one who takes a city? How would you like to be that? Israel Lockwood, is that you out there? Good to see you, Israel. Amen. God bless you. Man, it's a blessing to see you in the service, brother. That's great. Stand up. He is home. Been serving in the Air Force out there in New Mexico. Good to see you, man. That's great. That's wonderful. Did you get my letters? Amen. Two or three of them. It wasn't a whole lot, but it was two or three. So that's a blessing. Good to see you. Man alive. All right. Back to the message, all right? There's a little time out there, but I wasn't going to let that pass. Look. Amen. Now, if you are slow to anger, and, you know, understand here, the Bible doesn't say you never get angry. That's a blessing. It says you're slow to anger. Okay, if you're slow to anger, you are better than the mighty. Conquering our own spirit. And I believe here the implication is concerning the spirit of anger in the context of the verse. He that ruleth his spirit, he that conquers his spirit of anger. If we conquer our own spirit of anger, we are better than the one who conquers a city. Now, if you picture in your mind a great military hero, I'm not sure Israel reached that status yet, but amen, all right? But you picture a great military hero returning home from a victorious conquest and, you know, down the streets in New York City and the ticker tape parade and the confetti falling and the bands are playing and the people are lined up five and six deep on the sidewalks and children are holding their, parents are holding their children, their babies up in the air to get a look at the military hero who's passing by. And all of that is well within reason for such a military hero. But the person who has conquered the enemy of his own quick temper is greater than the military hero. It's easier to defeat an enemy, an army of enemies, than it is to conquer my own loose temper. That's what the verse is telling us here. Now, let's be realistic about the expectations in a marriage relationship. If the expectation is we never will be angry, then I think you need to forget it. All right? I think you'll have disappointed expectations real quick. All right? Now, I don't know if these two have been angry yet. In fact, they asked me this afternoon, what are you speaking on tonight, Dad? I had a message for teenagers, and I had this message, and I thought, the Lord wants me to do this one. And I was talking about being angry, and I said, y'all been angry at each other yet? They've been married 2 weeks. They haven't been angry yet. All right? But I don't expect that to go forever. Amen? I mean, I lived with her for 23 years. I know. So. I know. So. Alan's time is coming, amen. And so, forget it. That's a blessing. But if that's the expectation, we're never going to get, we got married, we're never going to be angry at each other. Then you're going to have a disappointed expectation. If our expectation is to grow to the place where we are slow to anger, well, then that's another story. That's an expectation that can be reached. And getting a grip on anger is well within our reach with the help of the Holy Spirit, and it ought to be our goal. The dangerous thing about anger is the potential bitterness that follows in its wake. You hear what I just said? It's the potential bitterness that follows in its wake. Brother Johnson was just here, what was it, two or three Sunday nights ago, and talked about rearing the boys down and the one daughter down on the mission field. And he preached on that passage, you know, dads, provoke not your children to wrath. Okay? So not having a grip on anger is the potential bitterness that follows in anger's wake. A man named Horace said this, and I quote, "Anger is momentary madness. So control your passion or it will control you." Now, you think about those two words, momentary madness. Folks, a lot of damage can be inflicted in momentary madness. Huh? I remember some years ago when I was in Bible college over here in Hammond. The winter of 1978-79 was a doozy. Mayor Belandick lost his job because he couldn't get rid of the snow. That's quite an expectation, isn't it? He's supposed to get rid of that. They were dumping it in Lake Michigan. I would walk down the sidewalks of the streets in Chicago visiting the bus route, walking on snow, and at my feet would be the tops of the cars. I'm serious. I mean, it never quit snowing. Y'all have that in California? Never snow. I mean, it never stopped. And do you remember that one Saturday it snowed like 16, 18 hours straight, and a snowplow driver in the city of Chicago lost his mind and killed, ran over, just started hitting people on the interstate and killed people. Momentary madness. Okay? That's what we're talking about here. In a minute or two of time of momentary madness, so much damage can be inflicted. So that needs to be avoided, or at least we need to be slow to get to momentary madness. I would suggest avoiding it altogether. So here is a husband, and here's a wife, and they are in a disagreement, and the disagreement leads to an argument. And instead of being able to calmly talk the disagreement out, they reach a boiling point within minutes. Minutes. We go from here to here in minutes. If minutes. Seconds. And now there is yelling and there are accusations that are not founded on any fact, just on emotional whim and momentary madness. And then somebody leaves the room and the other one stomps out, and now there's a mess. What should have been resolved through calm discussion, it is absolutely gone because people were slow to get a grip on their anger. Now it's quiet in here. All right? We've all been there. I doubt there's a couple here that hasn't been there. All right? I've been there. I don't think we've ever accomplished anything yelling at each other, except for to make matters worse. He that is slow to anger. So how to handle anger, or how to be slow to anger within the boundaries of the marriage relationship? I'm going to give you six suggestions. You might not use all six of them, but if you use one of them, I think inner Bible principles, they're not just suggestions, they're Bible principles, they're not my something I thought up or dreamed up. They're Bible principles. Six ways to get a grip on anger, to be slow to anger, so hopefully arguments and disagreements can be resolved peacefully and avoid the heartache that comes from not getting a grip on our anger. Number one, how do you get slow to anger? How do you deal with anger? Number one, dispense with it. Dispense with it. Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger be put away from you. Colossians 3:8. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, etc. It goes on. Psalm 37:8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Now in these verses, folks, we are simply told to put away, put off, or cease from anger. Dispense with it. One way to be slow to anger is to simply put it away. Put it off. Cease from it. Do you remember when you say, I can't do it. Do you remember when you were dating? Remember when you were courting? Remember when you were both circling the fields with each other and still learning each other, and the knot of marriage was not yet tied, and there were things that came up within the relationship that you could have been angry about, but you're not married and you still want to get married someday, so you choose not to be angry. Well, we've done it before. We can do it again. Dispense with it. Put off. Put away. Cease from it. What the Word of God says. So put it off. Spurgeon said, when I hear of anybody losing his temper, I always pray that he may not find it again. Such tempers are best lost. I love that. Amen. So what he's saying is, lose your anger. But not in the way you have lost it in the past. Lose it, not to find it again. Dispense with it. Cease from it. Put it off. Put it away. Dispense with anger. That's one way. Number two, deal with it. Deal with it. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. We're not going to turn to every scripture tonight for sake of time, but let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 and we'll show you verse number 26. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 26. So the first suggestion, Bible principle, is to dispense with it. The second Bible principle is to deal with it. Ephesians 4 and verse 26. Our Bible says, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now, Lester Roloff said, the interpretation of that verse is, it means you're supposed to be mad all the time. That's what Brother Roloff said. He said, just stay mad all the time. Now, unfortunately, that's one place I didn't agree with Brother Roloff about eating pork and catfish and all that. And I'd agree with him here. Yeah, I'm sure he was being facetious. Now, the truth of the matter is, folks, I like this verse because this verse allows for the emotion of anger. Be ye angry and what? Sin not. So, evidently, there's a way to be angry and yet not be in sin. Be ye angry and sin not. I cannot allow anger to become sin, and anger becomes sin when I neglect to deal with it. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't go to bed mad. Deal with the anger before you close your eyes in sleep. If anger is caught early enough and dealt with, then it does not become sin. Do you remember Cain in the book of Genesis chapter 4? God says, bring the offering. He brings the fruit of the ground, the work of his hands. Abel brings the firstlings of the flock, the little lamb. And God rejects Cain's offering and receives Abel's offering. And the Bible says that Cain was wroth and his countenance was fallen. He was angry. And God spoke to him and said, Cain, why are you angry? Now watch this. Why is your countenance fallen? Then he says, if you do well, you'll be accepted. If not, sin lieth at the door. Cain was upset. He was wrathful. His countenance was fallen, and yet God told him, if you'll deal with it, if you'll bring the right kind of sacrifice, humble yourself, and deal with your anger, your wrath won't be sin. But if you don't deal with your anger, sin lies at the door. So you feel yourself starting to get angry. Or you've had a disagreement that's resulted in anger welling up in your heart. There's a spirit and the emotion of anger overcoming you. The Bible says evidently there is a way for us to deal with that anger so that it does not become sin. Disagreements must be talked out, not yelled out, and anger should never be allowed to be carried into tomorrow. Folks, a sleepless night dealing with smoldering anger is less harmful than the anger being allowed to fan into a roaring flame. Well, I need my sleep. You need to talk out the disagreement. Especially if you're already angry. Be ye angry and sin not. Look, what you need to do, husbands and wives, when you're not angry with each other, when you're not angry, and everything's good, decide on some rules to follow when you are angry. I said, when? Not if. When? Because every husband and wife is going to reach a point where they're going to be angry with each other. So when you're not angry with each other, you know, I was surprised to learn you guys are all in the military and y'all know all this. You know, there are rules. What are they called? Rules of engagement? Or the Geneva Convention? There are rules to follow. Ethical rules of warfare. I don't know how much they follow them. And every husband and wife ought to have some rules to follow when you're angry. Let me give you some suggestions. Never use the word divorce. That's a rule. We're mad and we're angry at each other, but we're going to talk this out and we're going to do it within the boundaries of warfare. And we're not going to use the word divorce ever. That word will not be spoken in our disagreements. Number two, never bring up past failures that have already been dealt with. Never bring up past failures that have already been dealt with. Already had a disagreement once. Already had an argument once about an issue, and it's resolved. It's resolved. That means it's done. And so you don't bring up past failures that have already been dealt with. Well, you remember that time? That is not where you go, folks. That's a rule of warfare, if you will. You don't go that direction. Number three, never move out of the house during an argument. Never move out of the house during an argument. Things can't be resolved alone. So never move out of the house during an argument. Number four, never get physical. Never get physical. And I mean men against their wives, absolutely. And wives, don't get physical with your husband. Now let me tell you something. A man ought never strike his wife or any woman. But if you slap a man in the face, you better be prepared for a response. Because a man doesn't take getting slapped in the face too kindly. And I can illustrate that. Because when you've got little children playing on the floor, dads, and one of them comes up and even in the atmosphere of fun and playing, hits you in the face accidentally, your impulsive reaction is because you're a man. And it shouldn't be that way. Well, I'm sorry, but that's how we are. Just in us. We're not women. Men and women are different. And a man loves his own body. God said he loves his own body. And if you men are honest, you know what I'm talking about. catch yourself because, man, I was appalled at my impulse when I was inadvertently smacked in the face by one of my children who was playing with me and hit me. I was appalled by my impulsive reaction. I wanted to plow him in the next week. Oh, great day. I'm a beast. I'm a man. Never get physical. Allow equal time. Allow equal time. Dad has to, husband has to talk, wife has to talk, husband talks, wife, you gotta allow equal time. Control the volume. Control the volume. Don't tell me that it doesn't help if you're able to keep the volume at a certain level rather than to just let it go crazy. Never in front of the kids. Never in front of the kids. But, let me say, kids, when you hear Dad and Mom arguing, because I don't think there's any husband and wife that'll go through rearing children, especially multiple children, and make it without arguing in front of the kids at some point. And if you children want to stand someday and say, I couldn't serve God and live right because my parents argue with each other, that's bad. There's no excuse. Your parents are human. And humans make mistakes. So these are rules. And when we're not mad at each other, we're going to set these rules. Maybe you could think of some that are even better than these. Set some rules of argument. And when it's time to talk something out, here's our rules of argument. We're going to argue. We're going to have a disagreement. We've got this disagreement, and we're not seeing eye to eye on it. And it's going to be talked out, not yelled out, and it's going to be resolved. And we're going to talk and argue, if you will, within the boundaries of these rules. Deal with anger within the rules, but deal with it. Don't go into tomorrow with unresolved anger. That's what he said. Be angry and sin not. So don't carry it into tomorrow. Deal with it. Number three, we dispense with it, we deal with it. Number three, how do we get a grip on anger in the marriage relationship? And by the way, folks, it's okay if it gets so tight on these Sunday nights and it gets so still and quiet in here because we've all been here. This kind of stuff plows right close to the fence post. Everybody gets tight. Take a deep breath. Okay? Everybody's been here. Number three, what do you do with anger? How do you get a grip on it? How do you control it? How are you slow? Delay it. Delay it. Proverbs 15:18, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Notice the word slow in both of those verses. Slow. Delay it. I believe with all my heart in James, there is a connection between being slow to speak and being slow to wrath. It's amazing how the passing of time makes huge matters very small. And if we would just measure our words and be slow to speak, we would be slow to wrath. I know it sounds elementary and silly, but count to 10. Oh, that's ridiculous. What's more ridiculous? Yelling at each other within 60 seconds or taking the time to get a deep breath and count to 10 and just... You have your way of ridiculous. I'll have mine. Count to 10. How many times have couples had a huge blow up? I mean, immense. And 12 hours later, been totally embarrassed at how such a small thing became such a huge argument. How little matter a fire kindleth with the tongue. so delay it. Did you ever make a phone call to a business or to a retail store? And it's not this way much anymore because everything is so automated now. But back in the days before automated answering machines and all that stuff, you know, you make a phone call and the line rings. And buddy, you had something to say. You rehearsed your words. You knew what you were going to say because, you know, you're a little put out at these folks because something happened with you, bought something, it didn't work. And so you've got it down. Everything, you, this day this happened and this day this happened. And buddy, you're ready. And as soon as they say, hello, this is such and such, may I help you, you're ready to go. But they answer the phone and they say, hello, thank you for calling. Please hold, click. No. You start screaming at the phone. You dimwit, I'm telling you something. No. What do? You delay it. And you wait. And you wait. And you wait. And by the time somebody comes back on the line, you're not near as worked up as you were when they put you on hold. So delay it. Delay your anger. I know this seems to contradict with deal with it. But what worked? Which of these Bible principles worked for you? Some might work in some cases. Others might work in other cases. All of these things help us get a grip on anger. All of these things help us resolve conflict, resolve disagreement, without it ending up into a knockdown, drag-out, horrible, yelling and screaming situation where there's a bunch of mess to deal with after the fact. So delay the anger. Just delay it. Be slow to speak. Measure your words. And see what happens to that anger. Number four, these are all biblical principles. Defer it. Defer it. Proverbs 19:11 says this, listen carefully, it is glory to defer your anger. It is glory to defer your anger. You know, sometimes the devil would like for us to believe that, bless God, you know, I'm the man of the house and I'm just going to have my say and stake my claim as the head and the position of authority and rawr! There it is. Now you know who's in charge. And we glory in that. And God says it's glory to do just the opposite. It's glory to defer your anger. I was out camp at Brother Scott Hanks' place a couple, 3 years ago with Brother Evangelist Dan Martin, and Brother Hanks had a question and answer session for Brother Martin and I and the teenage boys. And one boy directed a question to me about getting started in evangelism. Brother Angel, what would you do if God called you to evangelism, and how would you get started in evangelism? And I started to answer, but I thought for a moment and said, wait a minute, to myself, I'm thinking to myself, now wait a minute. I'm not the evangelist. I'm a pastor. Evangelist Dan Martin is right here. So I said, son, if you don't mind, I'm going to defer to Brother Martin. He's the evangelist. Now, can I tell you folks, the victory was not in deferring to Brother Martin. The victory was in thinking for a moment. The victory was in thinking, you know, maybe I don't have to answer this. Maybe, in fact, I shouldn't answer this. I guess I'm not even qualified. Brent Gellis may be able to answer this. How do you get started in evangelism? Dan Martin could answer it. Dennis Coral could answer it. Brian Sharp could answer it. I've never been an evangelist. I've never been ever. So it's not my place to answer that. So I'll defer to someone who can answer. So defer your anger. Pass over it. Defer it. The key is thinking. I do not need to get angry now. I'll defer. Number five, how do you get a grip on anger? How do you deal with it? Defuse it. Proverbs 15:1. You know this verse. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. So one of the two spouses gets mad and does not get a grip on anger, and words are spoken and they're critical in nature and ugly, and you come to a, and they have their say, and now we're at a critical moment in this thing because the other spouse either stirs it up or pulls the fuse out. Pull the fuse out. Arguments last as long as someone is stirring the pot. You ever tried to argue with somebody who's not arguing back? Craft sale time is always during deer hunting season. Whoever came up with the idea of having craft sale at deer season made a big mistake. It wasn't me. I approved it. A moment of momentary madness some years ago. So I start early in August and September saying to my wife, you're going to want some things for craft sale. I want to help you now. Not the week of craft sale. That's primetime bow hunting and shotgun season. Not then. What do you need? So one year, I'm helping do some things, cut out this and cut out that, take the scroll saw and cut out this, make these benches and do this. And I did it, and I did it happily. Man, I was happy to be a part of it with her. And so we reached the end, and I said, anything else? No, is there anything? There's nothing. This is all we're going to do. Wonderful. That's great. It is Wednesday night after church. Thursday's the last day of bow hunting before shotgun on Friday and Saturday, and I'm going to the woods and staying all day on Thursday, and then I'm going to shotgun Friday. After church, I'm packing my bag. It's ready to go. I'm ready to walk out the door, and she's standing at the island with all this stuff. And this sheepish look, and I need somebody to punch some holes in these lids for my lights for the craft sale. Getting a grip on anger. Delay it. Nope. Defer it. Nope. I shot through the ceiling of that kitchen. I told you. 3 months ago, I wanted to be fooling with this stuff. I'm ready to walk out the door and all these. I'll punch some holes. I'll be glad to punch some holes. In some oh man, I was bent out of shape, and I grabbed the thing and I punched a hole in it. And I kept saying, "I told you," and she stood there, and I was so mad. And finally, I stopped to take a breath. She said, "You're not? Come on, please." You know, it's just kind of like, it was gone. And by then I'm feeling like a dog. And it's not my, I shouldn't have been feeling like a dog. But I was feeling like a dog. And doing that. I was, yes, I should be glad to do that. I'm glad you're doing this for the church. You know what she did? And she just reached in and went, pulled it out. It's hard to argue with a person that won't argue with you. Hard to fight with somebody that won't fight. Now, other times, no, I'm just saying. But I'm serious as a heart attack tonight. Just defuse it. Pull the fuse. I'm not going to fight about this. I'm not going to argue about it. She said she was sorry. What more could she say? Defuse it. I want you to turn to this scripture because this is the last one. Defeat it. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Defeat it. How about instead of just getting a grip on it, how about just killing it? This rush to anger. Defeat it. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse number 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like of the which I tell you before, as I've told you also told you in time past that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. All of those things are the works of the flesh, folks. They're in us, the works of our flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. All those things mentioned in verse number 19, 20, and 21. If we belong to Christ, and if we crucify the flesh, if we die to self, like we talked about last Sunday night, you crucify the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The truth is, folks, there's only so much that we can do to get a grip on anger. It takes walking in the Spirit. It takes living filled with the Holy Ghost, putting the control of our anger in His hands. He will do a far better job of handling our anger than we will. So put Him in charge. You defeat it by using and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Look, the winning of an argument brings a sense of glory. I mentioned that a few minutes ago. A sense of accomplishment. I made my point. But look at verse number 26. Let us not be desirous of vain glory. Look at the next three words. Provoking one another. You know what? When the yelling and the screaming is all over and the husband or the wife came out on top and made their point and they won the argument, it's empty. It's empty. There's no fulfillment. There's no satisfaction. It's dry. It's empty. There's no glory in it. It's vain glory. It's empty glory. It is glory to get a grip on the anger, to conquer the Spirit, to rule the Spirit, to rule the angry heart, and pass over it. That's what the Bible says. Rather than this false feeling of when you come out on top. We've heard a little saying for years, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's not true, is it? They do hurt, don't they? But sometimes it's not the one who is the recipient of the words who gets hurt the most. It's the one who says the words and walks away victorious, yet empty, regretful, remorseful, and a whole lot of mess to clean up. It's much better to get a grip on your anger and control it. And as mature men and women, with an emotion of anger, discuss and argue with some rules of engagement and resolve a conflict without carrying it into tomorrow. And without having 1,000 fires to put out instead of one. Every husband and wife is going to butt heads. Everybody. Some will get a grip on anger, and others will not. I want to encourage you tonight. Walk in the Spirit. Use one of these six principles. Use two of them. Use four of them. But get a grip on anger and avoid the damage that follows in its wake. You don't. Amen? I'm talking to all of us tonight. Let's pray.